ministry that he's going to go do over in Thailand. So I'm excited. So come be back tonight. But today we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll go to verse number 2 and we'll go down to verse number 7. 1 Kings 17, verse number 2. Bible says there, beginning in verse number 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. This morning I want to give you a message entitled, The Significance of the Dry Brook. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day you've given to us. Lord, we are so grateful today that we get to come together and to worship you. Father, Lord, I pray we never take that for granted. Lord, we are so thankful for the salvation you've given to each and every one of us that choose to accept it. And Lord, today we pray that you'll meet with us today as we look at another account in the life of Elijah. Lord, I pray that you would help us to glean from the truths of this passage, help it to apply it to our lives this morning. And Lord, I do pray if there's one here that does not know you as their Savior, they don't know they're on their way to heaven, help today be the day of salvation. Lord, we love you and we give this time to you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you know what boot camp is? Oh, yeah. Hey, Brother Matt, you know boot camp very well, don't you? Don't want to recall it, do you? Well, I tell you what, it's those who served in the military, and it's a place where they well remember it. Can I tell you that for many, it's the first time away from home. It's a time of brutal discipline, of unending work, of training. It's of fear and loneliness sometimes, but yet it is boot camp where soldiers are born. It's a soldier would never be able to serve on the battlefield unless he went first through training of boot camp. In boot camp, soldiers have their self-will stripped away. They lose any rebellion that may be in their heart. They learn to follow every order from their superior without question. They learn to follow their leader, even to death if necessary. Of course, the positive side of all that training is, and the discipline is the fact that the soldier grows stronger. They grow more disciplined. They grow more mature. He is transformed from a common man to a battle-ready soldier. You might say that boot camp is a really good thing, even though it may seem like it's hard, but I believe it's a training course. There's an experience there, and can I tell you, the soldier learns much in just a short time there. However, and what he learns on the in boot camp is essential for his survival on the battlefield. Now, God has a place for each of us as his children to pass through. He has a significant place, a training experience, so to speak, for each of us that he intends to use. You know, Elijah is about to go through a place in these verses this morning, and we think of Elijah, there are usually two events that seem to characterize his life. We think of Elijah first in the fact that he was carried away from heaven in a chariot of fire. The second, he was to do what was a great victory on the top of Mount Carmel. And I think we need to be reminded that before we can trust to stand on Mount Carmel, we must first go through a dry brook. What I'm trying to communicate with us this morning is the fact that God must train us. Can I tell you that before he can use us greatly before men, he must first break us before himself. Surely every child of God in the room this morning wants to be used by the Lord. Hey, I want to be used by God. I believe it's the greatest life you will ever live is to be used for his glory. But there are courses that we must have. Before God can use us on the battlefield as a soldier of the cross, we must first send us to boot camp. That isn't true. That's a truth that we don't enjoy thinking about, but it stands to reason that before God really can use us, he must first remove us from all that hinders us, his will from being done. Therefore, I want to join Elijah this morning as he goes to the dry brook. You see, his experience contains several truths that we're going to explore this morning. These things, I believe, will help us when we go through some significant events in life. So number one, the place that God ordained. The place that God ordained. There's a significance of this dry brook, but first of all, it's a place that God ordained. Let's go back in verses 2 through 4. First Kings chapter 17, verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now I notice, think about the context here for a second. Elijah has just stood before King Ahab, the king of Israel, to deliver the message of judgment that God had given him. We talked about that last Sunday. Now the next word from God is to command him to go hide himself away. It seems to me that God would want to keep Elijah. It would want to keep Elijah in the face of Ahab. However, God's ways is not our ways. Can I tell you that? You see, God has a plan. He wants to transform Elijah from Elijah the Tishbite in verse 1 into Elijah the man of God, as it says in verse number 24. But to accomplish this, God is going to send Elijah to a specific place. He's going to send him to a brook. So it's a place, it's a specific place, but I want you to notice it's the name of that place. In verse number 3, it's mentioned by the name of Cherith. Cherith means to cut off or to cut down. God has to cut off Elijah from public view so that he might be cut down to size. One of the hardest lessons for every child of God this morning will ever learn is that God must first send you to Cherith before he can use you for his glory. He must hide you away and cut you down so that his image may be more clearly revealed in you. Just as a silversmith, you think he heats the silver, he skims off the dross until he can see his image in that silver. So will God work in our lives to bring us to a place where his image is seen in us. So we see the name of the place is Cherith. It's a place of cut off. It's a place where we need to get to. But also the nature of that place is in verse 3. Let's see there again in verse 3. Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself in the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. It says it's a hidden place there. Can I tell you that it's commanded by God to hide thyself? You know, Cherith is by nature a hard and lonely place. Here Elijah would be removed from the spotlight. In verse 1, he's on the spotlight. He's in the spotlight of the king of Ahab, king of Israel and King Ahab and all the rest in view. But now in verse number 3, he's hiding himself in Cherith. Cherith is a nature, it's a lonely place. There he would dwell alone with the Lord and work out his will in the prophet's life. Now, of all the lessons that we can learn from these verses, I believe one of the most powerful is that we must never overlook the power of a hidden place. There is a power in the hiding place. It was in this place, hidden away from public view, that Elijah became a man of God. Can I tell you that it was here that he learned to trust God totally? It was here that Elijah was forced to learn to lean on the Lord. You see, before we can ever give out, we must first take in. Before God can pour anything into our vessel, we must first put something in them. You know, we all need to learn to the value of a hidden life. You see, there is part of us that the world sees, and there's part of us that the world will not see. Can I tell you, it is this part of man that do not see that defiles us. It is the time we spend alone in the presence of God that can make us great for his glory. How much time are we devoting in the hidden life tonight? How much time are we spending alone with God this morning? Of course, there are times that we would think that God should use us more than he does. Can I tell you that God hides us away from the eyes of the world? He plans us to grow us, to help us in private so that he might display us for the glory in his time. A life that is lived in solitude today before the Lord is a life that will one day be used to bring him great glory. You see, Elijah comes on the scene. It's a pretty bold statement that he comes before Ahab, isn't it? He says, it's not going to rain until my word. That's a pretty bold statement. But then we see that he goes and hides away in the brook Cherith. And during this time, God is teaching Elijah some lessons. He's teaching him to rely on God and not on man. He's relying on God and not on Elijah himself. You see, God wants us to come to a place where we are found faithful in the hidden life. Where we are found faithful there, he will extend this sphere of influence and bring us out of that hiding place. In Luke chapter number 16, verse number 10, it says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Therefore, what we need to do is we must come to a place where we are as willing to be hidden away. We are to be used. You know, that's the nature of Cherith. That's what Cherith means. You know, it may mean being passed over. It may be meaning being left out. But never forget this, though, that God knows where you are. God knows where you are. He hasn't forgotten you, folks. It may be that it seems like God's far from us, but God knew exactly where Elijah was. He knew and he took care of Elijah there at Cherith. And it may be that God has sent you to Cherith. He has hidden you away so that he might reveal you himself to you in his time. Can I tell you, there's a necessity of this place as well. There is a necessity of this place. Let's look in verse 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now I notice that it says the word there. Cherith was a specific place for Elijah. You know, God designed this place specifically for him. That's amazing, isn't it? Even before Elijah was even a thought, God had placed the brook Cherith there for Elijah himself. It was the only place that Elijah could be and be right with God. Can I tell you, if he had gone anywhere else, I believe he would have starved to death. If he had gone anywhere else, he would have been dead. But God had ordered provisions for Elijah. He had ordered them to be delivered to Cherith. It was the only place that he could be. And when the Lord sends us maybe into a difficult place into our life, there's a tendency to want to be somewhere else, isn't there? I mean, who likes pain? Who likes sickness? Who likes financial trouble? Who likes struggles in this life? We all don't like those things, but what we must need to learn is that God will send us to a Cherith, and he knows what he's doing, folks. He knows exactly what he's doing. He puts us there for a reason. The only place for us to be is where God sends us. If we find ourselves in a difficult situation, we cannot do better than to submit ourselves to the will of God for our lives and to trust him while we're there. I really think we forget who's really in control sometimes when we go through life, don't we? We forget that God is in control. And that God brings us through some hard times. We can either do one of two things, though. But I just want to remind you that the Lord has sent you to Cherith. It's merely a part of his plan for your life. It's not to punish you. It's not to see if you can make it through. It's there because God has ordained it. It's there for a reason. Maybe it's there to teach you something. But there is two choices. When a Cherith comes along in your life, you have two choices. You can either first rebel. You can rebel against God. You can fight God and say and stay in your Cherith longer. By the way, you could stay in there. And by the way, God's going to bring you through it regardless. But you know what? We could either fight God or stay in that Cherith longer. Or like Elijah, you can just submit to God. In verse number 5, it says that he submitted to God. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. You know, by the way, it's better to trust in God than fight God. It's better to trust in God than to fight him. By the way, he's going to bring you through it regardless, so why not submit to him? Why not submit to him? And instead of making it a woe is me going through this chariot, this experience, why don't you just trust God and rejoice in the spite of the situation? Can I tell you that it's better to go through that rejoicing? There's a place for you that God has ordained in your life. You can do no better in life than willfully following him there. It may be a hard place. I can tell you there have been times in my life that I've gone through chariots. But I tell you what, I'm grateful for those chariots because they have brought me to grow closer to God. They have taught me some things to help me go before the Lord. However, if the Lord ordained that place for you, then you need to submit to it. It's a place that is ordained by God. But number two this morning, there's a promise that God offered. Not only was the place that God ordained, but there's a promise that God offered. Let's look at verse 4-6 again. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt in the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Think about this for a second. Elijah was sent in the middle of nowhere to hide. In the middle of nowhere. Who wants to go in the middle of nowhere? I mean, it could be hot in the day. It could be cold at night. I wouldn't want to be in the middle of nowhere. But we know that God sent him there for two reasons. He sent him there for protection and he sent him there for training. You know, God promised Elijah that his needs would be met while he was there. By the way, God was true to those promises, wasn't he? And you know, the lesson in these verses is that when God calls, it's always accompanied by God's provisions. He will never send you to a place that he does not give you all that you need to make it through what you're going through. His place is always complete with his provisions for that place. I'm very grateful that God doesn't send us to a place and leaves us hanging. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. He gives you exactly what you need to go through your chariots. But I noticed that it involved advanced planning. Look in verse 4 again. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Think about this. Notice that before the need even arose, God already had provisions in place. Before even Elijah got to there, he already said, there's a brook there that you're going to drink of, and I'm going to send ravens to feed you. He's already promised it. It's already provided for. It's advanced planning. Before he told Elijah to go to Cherith, God had already commanded the ravens to take care of God's man. This lets us know that nothing catches God by surprise. When this came up, God did not just say, well, I hope he lives. What can I do to help this man? No, God knew already what was going to happen. But what we need to remember is that our chariot always comes equipped with God's provision. We serve a God who already lives in tomorrow. He already knows what's coming. That is the truth that we can never comprehend, but one that we certainly can enjoy. Before the dawn even breaks of tomorrow morning, the Lord's already there and he's already placed the need that I have. And, he already has, regardless of the circumstances or the difficulty, God's already prepared the path that I will take. This is the truth that Paul encountered during his trial with the thorn of his flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was told that the Lord had already supplied his need before it even arose. Boy, I'm grateful that God's already tomorrow, aren't you? I'm grateful he's already there. He already knows what's coming. And I'm grateful that he knows about it and he can get me through whatever's coming to tomorrow. But I noticed it involved an amazing provision as well. Let's look in verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Hey, Elijah's already getting a free meal. Amen. He's getting free meals from sitting here. He's getting ravens bringing him this food. He's already got water supply. God used this brook and some ravens to feed Elijah when he was stationed there in Cherith. This is remarkable because ravens are scavengers, aren't they? Ravens, they feed off the flesh of the dead. You know, yet God uses them to bring life, sustaining food to this prophet. Have you ever wondered where they got that food? I always wondered, how did they get this? You know, but this is just kind of just me thinking, but maybe it was from King Ahab's table. I don't know, but it'd be kind of cool if that was. At any rate, God suspended the laws of nature to meet the need of his man. Never forget that God knows what you need. God knows exactly what you need. If he has to, he will move heaven and he will move earth to see your need met. By the way, he's the same God that Elijah served. It's the same God we serve this morning. And you know what? He can meet your need. I've seen him meet needs in my life that I had no idea why I would need them, but I'm grateful he met those needs. He will direct you to a path, to a place where he can meet your need. But I know this, it involved an abundant peace as well. In verse 5, it says, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt in the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. The phrase there, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. When God called, Elijah simply stepped out in faith and obeyed. He didn't question it here. I don't find it here where Elijah questioned the Lord. He said, I'm just going to go. I went and I'm going to do according to the Lord. When God called, he simply went out and obeyed. That is the secret to surviving your Cherith experiences as well, is to go out and do the word of the Lord by faith. Coming to the place where we do not question God, but when he speaks, we respond by doing what we are told to do. You see, can I tell you that he will pay our way through this? He will help us through it. However, when you choose to walk in the path that he has not ordained, you're going to pay your own way. Can I tell you that God already supplied the need for Elijah? He gave him food. He gave him water. He didn't have to pay a cent, did he? He didn't have to do anything. All he had to do was go and have faith. But you know what? When you're not going God's way, you'll have to pay your own way. You'll have to do your own thing. You'll suffer the consequences because of it. But the primary lesson of Cherith, God's servants must come to a place where we trust God and we must trust him absolutely. Elijah had nothing but the promise of God here. And yet for him, it was sufficient that he could survive here. But the place that God ordained, the promise that God offered, but number three this morning, the plan that God ordered. Verses 5 and 6, we read them. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, and was sent and dwelt in the brook Cherith, that was before Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. You know, I notice here that it was a sovereign plan. You know, notice that God was in absolute control of this situation. The ravens did as he had commanded, and they brought him bread and flesh, and brought him twice a day. Twice a day. I don't know if it was like a brunch and a right between lunch and supper. I don't know if it was lunch and supper. I don't know if Elijah was a breakfast man. But I tell you what, I can tell you, God provided what he needed. And you know, the ravens did that, and the brook continued to provide the water refreshment as well. All of this was ordered by the Lord to teach Elijah that he was in absolute control of what was happening. When the Lord puts you in a place where you can do nothing but trust him, he had done a great favor for you, and that he can extend outside of salvation. When we come to a place where we are trusting him and in him alone, we have reached a great level of growth. I can tell you that it's a good thing to trust in the Lord. By the way, I've said this verse, I think, in Sunday school this morning. Psalm 118, verse 8, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put in confidence in man, folks. Can I tell you that I'd rather trust in God to meet my needs than to man to meet my needs, or to myself to meet needs? He has a sovereign plan, but it was a satisfying plan as well. It was satisfying because Elijah enjoyed the fulfillments of God's promises in his life, didn't he? God promised that he was going to be taken care of, and Elijah enjoyed it. You know, he received just what the Lord told him he would. He found God to be true. Nothing means as much to be a suffering Christian as the peace of knowing that God is in control. You know, nothing means so much. We may not like the situation that we find ourselves in, but if we know that God is going to take care of us, then it could be satisfied. We could be satisfied anywhere. You know, I'm grateful that I may not have everything that I want, but I'm glad I got what I need, folks. I'm glad that God is taking care of me. I'm grateful I'm not where some people are to this morning because they're not trusting in God. But I'm trusting the Lord to meet my needs, and I'm grateful, and He's given me what I need because I trust in Him. You know, I tell you what, Elijah trusted that God was going to meet his need, and God met his need. God met his need because he had faith. But I noticed that he was submissive. In verse 5, we again said that he went and dwelt in the land. The word dwelt means to live. Elijah wasn't headed out there for an overnight camping trip, folks. It wasn't to spend a night in a hotel. All he was there, he went out there and set up his living quarters. He intended to live in that place until the Lord came and told him to go somewhere else. That is when we begin to enjoy real victory in our lives. Regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in, when we arrived at a place where we can submit to God's will for our lives, no matter how bad we might think it is, then we are on the path to help and blessing. Have you submitted to your Cherith this morning? The whole purpose of God's plan was to help Elijah come to a place where he could trust God for one day at a time. I would imagine that there are some that fear the prophet's heart on the first evening. Can I tell you that? Would the ravens really appear? Would the ravens come? Would there really be bread and would there be meat in the morning? But as the days passed and God proved to be faithful time and time and time again, I believe Elijah learned to walk in faith. I believe Elijah learned to walk in faith. But can I tell you this morning that this is where the Lord wants to bring us this morning. The Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. Can I tell you that God wants us to come to a place where we do not know what steps to take next, but that He wants us to be totally dependent upon Him. He wants us to go through our Cherith and to trust Him that He's going to help us through it. So that's the plan that God ordered. But number 4, and lastly this morning, the problem God orchestrated. The problem that God orchestrated. Let's look in verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now we got a problem here, don't we? The stream of life of water ran dry. Imagine how Elijah must have felt as he watched that stream grow smaller and smaller each day. And then one day, there was nothing else left in it. As the days passed, that little brook began to get narrow. One day it's all gone. Nothing was left but dry steam in the bed. This happens to us as well, doesn't it? That job that we may have invested our lives dries up. That mate that we have given ourselves completely walks out on us. Our health breaks. Regardless of the circumstances, the brook has dried up. When we are faced with this kind of trials, we must never lose sight of two great truths. The God who provides the water can also withhold the water. Can I tell you, He can also withhold it if He wants to? He is in control of our lives. Elijah found that out very quickly. God had another place already prepared for him. So it is with us. When our brook dries up, God has another channel of blessing already lined up for us. Can I tell you also another great truth is the dry brook is not always a sign of God's displeasure. It's not always a sign that God's displeased with us. Certainly, God uses events in our lives to chasten us as we walk outside of His will. But however, there are times that He will let your brook dry up in the midst of serving Him. It happened to Abraham when he was called upon to offer Isaac, didn't he? Abraham was serving God, and God asked to offer Isaac. He wanted to demonstrate that, but it happened to Joseph as he ministered in Potiphar's house. It happened to Paul as he served God in Lystra. It happened to Jesus as he agonized in Gethsemane, as he gave his life a ransom on Calvary. Sometimes the brook of life dries up because God is pleased with us and desires us to take on new and better things. He knows us, and He knows that we would be reluctant to leave the place where everything is going good, right? Therefore, he will dry up our brook, causing us to willingly go where he leads us. Sometimes God allows the brook dries up because we are guilty of trusting the brook more than we are trusting him. But can I tell you that we need to learn to look on the Lord, not on what he gives. You know, there are a lot of times that I've been guilty of relying on other things other than God, right? You know, it may have been that Elijah was relying on that brook and relying on the ravens, but he needed to rely on God. You know, even when the gifts are gone, we are to trust him by faith. Now, I can hardly imagine how Elijah must have felt as that brook dried up before his eyes. I wonder if he felt abandoned or forsaken. I wonder if he felt that God had somehow let him down. Have you ever felt like God has abandoned you? You know, when one of your brooks dries up, I just want you to know that God hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't forgotten you one bit. In fact, you are standing right where he wants you. He's there regardless of what goes through our life. God will often allow people to sit by a dry brook. And when it happens, and it will, by the way, it will happen in your life. But never believe for an instant that God has forgotten about you, because he hasn't. He's never forsaken you. If you are in his will, where he wants you to be, then you can rest assured that he's going to take care of you, regardless of what comes through life. Elijah, when the brook dries up, God had a new channel of blessing waiting for him to reveal in his time. But for Elijah, that brook dried up should have been something to shout about. Why? Because of two things. His prayer had been answered. You know, he prayed and his prayer was answered and his prophecy had been fulfilled. Elijah's dry brook came about because God was pleased with Elijah. That doesn't make sense from our standpoint, does it? It doesn't make sense, but it's true nonetheless. We need to come to a place where we understand that when God dries up a brooks of life, it's because he has something bigger just down the road for us. Sometimes that brook dries up because you've done everything correctly. God has just chosen that dry brook as a vehicle to move you to a new place. Remember that God's sending Elijah to a brook to teach him something. He was training this prophet. He was building this man of God. God knows that before Elijah can stand before the power on Mount Carmel, he must first be broken in Cherith. His goal is the same in our lives this morning. Many of us have gone through something like Elijah has gone through. We have been gone through a dry brook experience. Others are about to go through it. You know, brooks are beginning to dry up in your life. You wonder what to do and how you're going to make it. Let me give you a little advice this morning. Is it to come to a place where you just give it over to God and trust God that he's going to take care of you? Can I tell you, the Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I believe he never will leave us nor forsake us, folks. He won't cast you off. I believe he's going to take care of his child. If you are his child this morning, may we come to a place where we realize that everything happens in your life is part of God's plan for you. Romans 8, chapter 28. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You think Job was doing everything right, wasn't he? He was serving God, and the devil said to God, if you just allow things in his life, you know, he's going to curse you, he's not going to serve you. God says, go ahead, do whatever you want to him. He's still going to serve me. He said, prove me wrong, go ahead. And so the devil took everything from him. What did Job say? Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He served God in spite of his situation. Can I tell you, you haven't gone through what Job has gone through. You have not. You may think you have it bad. You have not gone through what Job's gone through. Can I tell you that Job served God regardless of all that? And Elijah served God too, regardless of what he did or what happened in his life. And can I tell you that there may be some things that go in your life, some dry brook experiences, but if you serve God, he's going to break sure that he's going to take care of you. If there's a need for you this morning, I want you to bring it before the Lord. If salvation is that need, hey, if you're standing there at that brook that's dried up right in front of you, I invite you to come this morning. If you're in the need of God to help in your life in some way, and if you feel abandoned, you feel forsaken by God, come before Him and say, "Hey, Lord, just please come help me through this situation." Can I tell you, God's never going to forsake you. God's never going to leave you. He's right there with you. If you're doing His will, He's going to take care of you. This morning, I just want to challenge us that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You.